Hello and welcome to Stomp Death and Taxes. This is Meep, also known as Mary Pat Gamble. I'm a life actuary, and today I'm really getting into my groove and finally answering a question somebody asked me. I think it was back in December 2023, and it has to do with people alive today, who is going to be alive 75 years from now? And it's an excellent question. Now, you may be wondering, why is this an excellent question? And it's a very political question. And I'm not just going to answer that question. I'm going to answer of the people alive now, who's alive 10 years from now, 25 years from now, 50 years from now, and 75 years from now. You may be wondering, why these numbers? Now, it is pretty broad, but it has to do with certain kinds of planning horizons. I picked 10 years because that's when the Social Security Trust Fund is going to run out in 10 years. 25 years because many public pension systems are going to have a lot of trouble within 25 years. 50 years, well, that's kind of my time horizon for me. I'm 50 years old. I figure 50 years is a good enough planning horizon for me. And 75 years was the question the person had asked. And I actually kind of know why it was asked. It's because when you do the Social Security Trustees Report, they're supposed to project, and they're not the only ones, to project out 75 years for the plan to see if it's sustainable. So why am I thinking about just looking at the current population? Because, of course, when the Social Security Trustees report is put out, they don't just take the current population. They also project out births and immigration and not just deaths, which is what I'm doing. I just have people age and die. I don't even have emigration with an E. I'm just going to assume that all that happens is people either get older by a year when 1 year passes or they die. That's it. That's my only assumption on this model. It's a very simplified model. I get my data from the Census Bureau and from the Social Security Trustees report from 2023. You'll have to go to the Substack post or the show notes, where I'll have a link to my original data sources. You have to go to the Substack post, though, to get the spreadsheet that will have all the data and the graphs, and you can look at all the different projections that I did. Why did I exclude this? Why did I just look, and why did I think it was a good question not to include the births and those who immigrate to the U.S. To find out what the population would look like in 75 years? And that's because the people who are here now are the people who are going to be making decisions now that are going to be affecting these various programs over this 75-year period. Now, let's be realistic. There are going to be other people coming in the future that will affect things. One of my favorite, I don't want to call it a joke, it's not really a joke, but when I was working at TIAA, there was a project I was working on. It doesn't matter the specific details, but I did make a joke that no one's going to know for 20 years whether I made a mistake. Now, obviously, that was a lie. They could find out very quickly if I had made mistakes. But also, it's not that set it and forget it. People would be making adjustments to my initial model. I had done something that was setting up an initial condition for a program. And that's the kind of projects I often worked on. I was often not working on what I would call maintenance projects, as it were, but building something from scratch and getting something started up, because I was used to building models and building systems just from nothing and then handing it off to somebody else who would would have to then maintain it. The people who would maintain, of course, would have to make adjustments over the years as conditions changed. And that's what's going to happen. There will be other people who will be making changes in the future. That said, a lot of the choices being made now, just like there are a lot of choices that were made 50 years ago, like the 1970 Illinois state constitution, have repercussions decades into the future because of the protection clause for the pensions in Illinois. They have been very constrained on how they can make reforms to their state pensions. And that's one of the reasons that Illinois state pensions are in such a dire state, unlike other states which have been able to make certain changes to current beneficiaries, to current active employees, not just those who are new entrants to their pension plans. So this is something to think about, that there are people who are alive today that are going to be affecting the lives of people, say, 25 years in the future, and the people making those decisions now are not going to be around to see the repercussions of those decisions. So this is why it's important. I've done a lot of posts on what we will call political mortality. And part of the reason that I get huffy about this, especially the agedness of the Senate, is that a lot of these people are really not going to be around for the impact of some of their very bad decisions. So I will have a little more editorializing about that in a moment, because we're just going to jump into some of these numbers. I understand it's going to be a little difficult to listen to numbers in audio, but I'm used to this, having done recording for the blind and dyslexic, where I had to read math textbooks. So I'm going to try to make this, you know, that you can deal with it, that you're not seeing the graphs, but you can also go to the Substack post and look at the graph. I'm going to try to break it down so that you can see in your mind, close your eyes, well, maybe not if you're driving, and think through of the shape of the current population. So I'll set it up, what the current population distribution looks like. Then what the percentages will look like just in 10 years of the current distribution, and then what it will look like in 10 years when the Social Security Trust Fund has run out. The data I'm using are census estimates that are released, that are set for July 1st of each year. So this is for July 1st, 2023. Estimates, and it's for single age, for zero, that they were born in 2023, one, two, three, four, okay, maybe not born 2023, but between July 1st, 2022 and July 1st, 2023. Okay, so zero, one, two, three, four, and by sex, female and male, it goes up to 99, and then there's a catch-all at 100, and it's just a little blip. It's not too bad, though maybe in years to come, they might have to push out that 100 plus bucket up to 110. We'll see about that. If you want to know what this distribution looks like, I'm actually not going to talk about too much the sex mix. At birth, there are more males than females, and I'm not going to do decimals because, you know, especially on audio. There's about 49% females in the population at birth. And of course, as more males die at every age compared to females, you get about 50% at around age 32 of females compared to the whole population. And then that percentage is just going to climb. It gets to 60% at age 86, so 60% females in the population at age 86. in 40% males. It gets to 70% at age 95. And then for the 100 plus bucket, it's 78% female. So you might find that interesting. But I'm not really going to follow the sex patterns, even though I projected it that way, because the mortality gap is so much bigger by sex than any other than age, any other demographic, you know, even race. Sex gap is so much larger. I used the Social Security sex-based by single age mortality and cohort. So cohort is by the year you were born, using the intermediate assumption set, okay, and projected. Now, if we look at what the distribution by single age looks like, it looks pretty funky. It's, you know, kind of bumpy, and there are some funny peaks that occur at various ages. There is a peak that occurs at age, I believe, about 77. And if you figure that out, that's 1946 birth year. There really was a little bitty baby boom at the end of World War II. And that, it always cracks me up when I see that little spike. And there is a huge spike at that 76 compared to, say, 77 in the World War II years. And you'll see a huge drop off there. And it kind of really slides off. Once you get past age 65 or so, you'll see the population really slides off. And that's due to mortality, of course. It's not just birth rates. There's another peak that's at about age, let's see, I think 53. So that would have been at 1970. I don't know. Don't ask me. What was going on? There's another peak at about, I guess, 33. So 1990. So, you know, I guess some people liked uncertain years to give birth. Don't ask me. Or there was immigration. There can be a variety of reasons. There's little peaks in the population. It's a bumpy kind of map. Anyway, that's where I started in 2023. Then we're going to go ahead 10 years. So then the youngest age is going to be 10. Because again, no births, no immigration. I'm just going to take that original population and move it forward 10 years. The mortality tables I have allow ages up to 110. So they still survive, but the survival is not great at old age. Most of the young people do survive, but you do see a big drop off at those older ages. Now, this is going to be difficult to follow if I did it year by year. So what I did is I bucketed up the ages to buckets like 20 years old and younger, 21 to 40, 41 to 60, 61 to 80, and over 80. So one of the ways to follow this is in the population overall, what percentage of the population was in that bucket? So if we start out like 26% in 2023, which bucket had the largest percentage of the population? And that was age 21 to 40. 27% of the population in 2023 was age 21 to 40. Then we had 41 to 60 is 25% of the population. 20 and younger is 26, 61 to 80. So your boomers are in there. That's only 19% of the population. They've been dying off, and over 80 was only 4% of the population. And if we move it to 2033, and again, we're just moving everybody up 10 years. We're going by the buckets they were originally in. So the age they were in 2023, that original population. Now, what is our distribution? Of course, the oldest age groups are going to have the highest mortality rates. So the over 80 age group in our population in 2033, only 1% of the population at this point is from that original over 80 group. So now they'll be over 90 at this point. The 61 to 80 group, are 16%. So, you know, they're about, you know, order of magnitude, about the same percentage over the overall group. But that original 21 to 40 are 29%. The 20 and younger are 28%. So they're a bigger portion. And the 41 to 60 are 26%. So let's think about this in terms of politics. Who is dominating, say, the Senate and the House of Representatives? It's that 61 to 80 and over 80 group. And that's 23% of the population in year 2023. And then it'll be 17% of the population, that original, say, generation in 2033. And they're making those decisions while we have this very large, over half of the population, that's the 21 to 60-year-olds, who may be underrepresented politically, and they're being affected when the Social Security Trust Fund runs out in 2033. The people who will be affected, of course, are going to be those who are in that, who were in that 61 to 80 and over 80 group. They will be on Social Security. They will be on Medicare. They will have made choices now not to take care of it, that are going to mean higher, much higher taxes in 2033. So, you know, there are consequences to putting off dealing with issues, so that those who were younger, and especially that 20 and younger group who were not adults in 2023, and some of whom will be adults in 2033, are going to be entering a workforce with much higher taxes. Of course, now when we move forward to 2048, which is 25 years in the future, let's just forget about this. Now we're not thinking about, you know, what new immigrants, what new babies have come in over that 25-year period. We're just looking at that original set and moving forward. The group who were over 80 are basically dead at this point, 25 years in the future. The ones who were in the 61 to 80 group, again, like the baby boomers, are only 6% of the population that is still extant. And what we have is that 41 to 60, say Gen Xers-ish, are 25% of what is left of that original group. And the 21 to 40 and 20 and younger are both 34% each. So we have these younger generations, 25 years in the future, who are looking at a lot of, say, public pension systems and other public finance systems that may be under supreme distress at this point, if not assets run out, that they're having to deal with in 2048. That's not the only thing we're thinking about over a 25-year period. There are other systems that are more long-term, again, not necessarily being handled very well right now by older generations. Now, when I was talking about these 20-year buckets, I wasn't, you know, I was talking about the percentage of the population who was left of that original population. Again, that's ignoring all new immigrants and births that were coming in over the period. We know there will be births and immigrants, et cetera, that will be coming in. So let's look at it from a different perspective, which is that survival percentage. If we look overall from the 2023 original population, the whole population aggregated together in 2033, 90% of the whole population will survive to 2033. Again, this is using the set of assumptions that are in the Social Security projections. Okay, so 90%, that's everybody. That includes old and young. Then 2048, that's 25 years, 73% of the original population has survived to 2048, 25 years, 50 years, 2073, 43% of the total population makes it to 2073, and then 2098, which is 75 years from 2023, 15% of the original population makes it that far. Now, obviously, it's not even over all the age groups. So let's break it out. We know that, so for, let's just look at the over 80 group. With the mortality projections that I have, 26% of that over 80 group makes it to 2033. Not too shabby. But with the projections we have, none of them make it to 2048. So that's that for them. Okay, so that's how the over 80 goes. 61 to 80, again, as I said, the baby boomer group, as it were, in 2023, 75% of them make it to 2033. And that makes sense to me. Mortality for seniors has been very good. Survivorship for 10 years, that makes sense to me, 75%. 23% make it to 2048, so that's 25 years. And this is, of course, one of the stressors on our pension systems, our retirement systems, and Medicare and Medicaid, is that seniors are living to be quite old. So yes, 23%, 25 more years. But then, of course, they don't make it to 2073, 0% to 2073, and none to 2098. So there went the 61 to 80 year olds. Okay. 41 to 60, so approximately Gen X. 94% make it to 2033. So this is before you get to the senior mortality slide, as it were. So 94% survive 10 years. No problem. 2048, 74%. So you can kind of see where the diagonal of decrepitude crawls in. I mean, mortality, a lot of people do not understand the force of mortality. I'm using some actuarial terminology here. It does get a bit brutal when you actually see these curves, in that we have to use logarithmic graphs for some of them so that you can actually see them if we put older ages on them. If we keep it to young ages, then they're all in the same scale. But the mortality rates are very low for young ages, and you'll see, yes, survivorship is very good under age 60. So 94%, 10 years. The 41 to 60 year olds, 74% make it 25 years to 2048. But 9% make it to 2073. That's 50 years. So I might make it to 2073. Heck, I may make it to the tricentennial, 2076. I'm making it, I swear. And then 2098. 0% with the mortality assumptions I've got. Okay, so we realize those over 40 with the mortality assumptions I have, none of them are making it. None of them are in that 75-year survival group. It's all under 40. So 21 to 40, 98% make it to 2033. Makes sense. 93% make it to 2048. That's 25 years. Again, they're very young, so of course they're going to survive. 64% make it 50 years, 2073. And then 4%, so again, you see the drop off here, make it to 2098. That's 75 years. So again, that's like 96 to, this is quite old. So you can kind of see, this is asking, do they make it to like 100 years old? 4%. So it really drops off. We're basically looking at children, 20 and younger. They're the group that make it 75 years. 100% make it to 2033. This is rounding, of course. 98% make it to 2048. That's 25 years. They make it to middle age. 91% make it to 2073. That's 50 years. Again, this is, they're making it into middle age, early seniorhood. And then 55% make it to 2098. That's 75 years from now. So what group is making it 75 years from now? It's mainly the minors right now. The choices that are being made that have very long-term effects that can make very long-term, you know, when people are talking climate risk and things that will have 100-year effects, they're not going to be around for it. Their children, their grandchildren would be around for it if they had children, if they had grandchildren. That's, of course, one big aspect. A lot of the people making these choices do not have posterity that are going to be affected. People are making choices. People are making decisions that will affect a lot of people. And some of the choices are easier to change than others. Some choices are more material than others. And then some choices, I'm sorry to say, are just for show. They don't really do anything, even under people's own proclamations. Now, all these projections are based on certain sets of assumptions. The initial populations by age and sex are probably pretty good estimates. I've been looking at the population estimates for years. Yeah, they got 2021 or initially wrong. Looks like it's been fixed, but you know, even if it's not, the age distribution is pretty good. I think that looks fine. Where, of course, reality may differ from the assumptions are going to be those mortality projections. 10-year, probably within spitting range. 25-year, 50, 75. Obviously, this is just going by a lot of the trends we've already seen. I could stress it. Mortality could be worse. It could be better. I did do it by sex, and that does assume certain trends. I could break it out by subpopulations. I'm not really doing that for this particular exercise. There could be worsening mortality. There could be lengthening longevity. That would have different effects. That said, this is pretty good enough because the whole point of this exercise, of course, is to show that, of course, it's going to be the younger generations who are going to be of the current group of current long-term choices being made. It's going to be the younger generations who are the ones who are going to have to pay the bills, as it were, for the choices being made now. Some of them can be undone in the future, and this happens. But just like I mentioned the 1970 Illinois State Constitution, some of the choices that get made now, we try to put handcuffs, as it were, on later generations to say, okay, we're making this choice, we're making these decisions, and we're handcuffing future generations saying, oh, you must pay this bill. That said, when the bill comes due, the future generations, first off, might not be there to pay it. That's number one. You forgot the part where you have to make babies. You forgot the part where people have to show up to pay the bills. That was one of the problems with both Puerto Rico and Detroit, to say the least. They're not the only places. If the tax base ain't there, if there's nobody to pay, it won't get paid. It doesn't matter how many things you write down on a piece of paper. So that's number one. But number two, those future generations may not feel obligated, no matter how many laws or constitutions you wrote. And they may change it, no matter what the laws said. That does happen. The only kind of security for the promises being made in terms of money, public finance, is to make sure you pay for those promises as they are accrued. Yeah, and yeah, I'm going back to my hobby horse, and this is why it's death and taxes. Saying that we are going to pay for these pensions, of course, or Social Security, or whatever it happens to be, and it's going to be a cash flow sometime in the future. If you don't put the money aside now, when the person whose benefit gets accrued now, the accrual occurs now, the earning of it occurs now, but the payment is in the future, you don't put that money aside now, that money might not be there in the future. Of course, if you put it aside now, that money might not be in the future as well. But if it's not put aside now, come the future people might say, no, we're not interested in paying that. And that is what you may be finding more and more, especially if you find the number of people that are there and their economic product is not big enough to satisfy those promises that were made decades ago. So that's been Stump, Death and Taxes. Talk y'all another time.